Today's reading is Psalm 43, and that can be found on page 568 in the Pew Bible. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen.
Pull yourself together. That's what my granny might say. And that's what my mum would sometimes say. Not directed at me, I might add. Translated, it means pull yourself together. Translated further, that means don't be overwhelmed. Instead, overcome whatever it is and however you feel. Translated further still, it suggests putting things out of sight, out of mind, all in an attempt to ignore and carry on. I've heard that advice dispensed at different times to different people, but it's not the best. It's not even the most helpful. It assumes that we can take charge of who we are, and that within our own strength or resources, we can overcome. To some extent it's true, but not with any lasting effect. When I first heard those words, I was much younger. And when I first encountered the Psalms, I was at a similar stage in life. All of that had an effect. As a young Christian, I could appreciate the Psalms, but struggle to identify with them. It goes without saying that there's a treasure trove of insight, wisdom and faith, and all of it has withstood the test of time. But as someone who hadn't experienced all that the psalmist had, I was unmoved and unaffected. That said, I've grown to appreciate the Psalms, and that's because I've grown a little more in years, a little more in experience, and dare I say it, a little more in terms of faith. Because of that and many other factors, the Psalms speak to me differently, and none more so than Psalm 43. A basic introduction will tell you that this psalm is closely connected with what precedes it. And in Hebrew literature, Psalms 42 and 43 are simply combined. Look closely and you'll detect a similar theme, similar wording and outcome. Then there's the authors. For there were a variety of contributors to the Psalms, King David included. In this case, it was the sons of Korah who composed, and they, as far as is known, were temple musicians and assistants. And they, normally speaking, would have been involved in the worship and activity of the temple. But for them, that was not possible. And for them, the likelihood is that Psalms 42 and 43 express a longing to be elsewhere, to be where they belonged, to be in what was familiar, and to be where they believed God was. And so, as you read Psalm 43 and what precedes it, remember that whoever wrote it was unhappy. They were depressed. They were questioning where God was in the midst of their experience. And they wondered about what might happen next, what the outcome would eventually be. Read of a deer searching for water in a barren land, of memories of happier times past, of longing for an experience of God once known, all combined with the fear of now being overlooked by that same God for whatever reason. This may be an Old Testament writing dating from perhaps 1400 years before Christ, yet what is said, what is expressed, is real. As real today as it was then. That's when Psalm 43 and what precedes it has a message for you and me. If you're a Christian, then you are transformed and are being transformed, even if it doesn't feel like it. And if you're not a Christian, then there's an invitation, an opportunity to experience spiritual transformation through Jesus. But whether you're a Christian or not, you are human. And you will experience all kinds of emotions and feelings. You will at times question and wonder. You will at times be bewildered by people, events and circumstances. But still, there is God. He is who he says he is. He is who he has always been. His words remain powerful. His presence continues to remain and always will. But still, your experience and understanding of life and faith may perplex, test, and challenge. That's when Psalm 43 has greater effect, for it points us to a better understanding of God, but also of ourselves. That's what putting your hope in God involves. And that's an action that we can take in response to a promise that is made. Think of it this way. 1 Timothy tells us to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. That indicates a way of dealing with our feelings. I might not feel like exercising, but discipline helps me to do it and to reap the benefits. I might want to spend and buy, but discipline reminds me to live within budget, again bringing benefits. Then there's the place of joy. And the Bible repeatedly mentions it, all in connection with those who believe, even in the midst of difficulty. Read John chapter 15, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 16, Galatians chapter 5, and Philippians chapter 4. As well as that, there's room for encouragement. Remember that Elijah, John the Baptist, and the Apostle Peter, to name but a few, had more than their fair share of ups and downs, even although they believed. But there's also the circumstances we encounter. And again, the Bible provides a response. The possibility of prevailing, of overcoming, is what Romans chapter 8 describes and encourages. Yet, throughout, there's a relationship with God to be pursued. And it may be that things are not what they could be. That leads us to King David. In Psalms 32, 38 and 51, as he acknowledged his wrongdoing and sought to make recompense. Then there's the opportunity and the prospect of prayer. Not just an occasional SOS, but a committed, prevailing and ongoing engagement with God over whatever the matter is. A wrestling, if you like, and one that encourages us to pursue. Look no further than Genesis chapters 39 to 41 and all that took place to Joseph. But if circumstances remain, we might need to think again. That's when attitude becomes important. And that's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, rejoice, rejoice. For when we do, our focus shifts from all that consumes us to God himself. Then, with that renewed focus, we're reminded that God is sovereign. He is in control. And again, that's what the scripture confirms in Ephesians chapter 1, as well as Acts chapters 2 and 4. Then, all the more, he seeks to shape and mold by being present with us in all that we face. That's when Psalm 66, Romans chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 12 and James chapter 1 all state. Taking us back to the psalmist, the sons of Korah, as well as to their response, one which involved them seeking the person of God, seeking the presence of God, seeking the praise of God, seeking the precepts of God, and seeking out the people of God. In other words, joining with others to worship, pray, praise, and grow in faith. But more than that, Psalm 43 and what precedes it has a further message. And that is, don't just listen to yourself. Instead, as the psalmist suggests, as the heroes of the faith have stated, as the Bible indicates, and as many who have gone before us in faith have proclaimed, take hold of yourself in Jesus' name. Take hold of all that affects you in Jesus' name. Take hold of thoughts, feelings, emotions, all in Jesus' name. And take hold of whatever it is you face or live with again in Jesus' name. On this subject, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, the art of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, and question yourself. You must say to your soul, why are you downcast? Then, taking his advice with confidence, say instead, hope now in God. Going on to remind yourself of God, who He is, what He's done, and what He has pledged Himself to do. For now, more than ever, in Christ, that is possible. All because the possibility is now beyond human. Now, as a Christian, the human phrase, pull yourself together, based on human understanding and human perception, can be dismissed. Now, when it comes to you, it's all about God. His strength, His light, His truth, His justice, all leading to His joy being known. And so it can begin for you. When you wake up, give thanks to God, for there's much to give thanks for, no matter what. Then, before you get out of bed and before the day begins, say, today, I take captive all of my thoughts in Jesus' name. Then say, today I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, all in Jesus' name. Finally, say, today I take hold of every piece of the spiritual armor and wear it in Jesus' name. Notice I say, not just pray. For the psalmist did more than write and more than pray. The psalmist spoke out all that was on their mind and in their heart, all the while believing that God would not only hear, but answer. Making all of the psalms important for us, but making Psalm 43 and what precedes it all the more for you and me.